Oh, that's right. We're here this afternoon with another, I hope, excellent conversation and some thought-provoking ideas for you out there. Today, my very special guest is Dr. Bradley Griggs. He is the Dean of Arts and Sciences out there at Piedmont Technical College. They certainly, out there at Piedmont Tech, have spent a lot of time developing some very good systems. I love talking to the folks out there at Piedmont Tech. But this is very interesting because we're all about saving money. And of course, Piedmont Technical College is capable of doing that, particularly since they now have excellent transfer programs to, I think, just about every school in South Carolina. But we'll find out right more. But right now, Dr. Brad Griggs, nice to have you here today.
Thank you very much, Ann.
It's always good to find out what's going on out there at Piedmont Tech. Gosh, you know, I think Piedmont Tech is probably one of the fastest growing schools in our area anyways, but maybe in this, with technical schools just have really expanded and blossomed in the last, 10 years?
Without a doubt. In fact, this semester our enrollment is up, and more so than many of the other technical colleges across the state.
What would you attribute that to?
I believe it's focusing our degrees to jobs that are in demand. We really try to be on the cutting edge and have, whether it's transfer programs that I'm involved with or mechatronics or engineering, other programs, we really want to have a spot for every student.
How about the truck driving program? That was a unique program to start.
Trying to bring it online, absolutely. If we can identify a need, we want to try to see how we can help our community.
So if you are now, you know, when we always think about school, I think basically for young people, but I think in this new generation, we're going to keep going back to school whether we want to or not, won't we, Brad?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's and so you have a lot of students which are older students.
If you look at our student population, probably half are not the typical traditional college student. They're in their late 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. We even have grandmas, grandpas who come back to school, and it makes for some very interesting dynamics in the classroom, and I think for the better.
That's what I've heard from people that I've talked to that have worked in those programs. Now, you have kind of an interesting story. You were supposed to be a geneticist or something, weren't you? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, ma'am. I actually came to Greenwood about 15 years ago. I was at Clemson, and I was working on my doctorate in genetics, and came down to the Genetics Center to actually do my research to finish that degree program. Worked as a staff scientist at the Genetics Center for a year, and while I was doing that, taught part-time at Piedmont, fell in love with teaching, and then joined the faculty at Piedmont about 10 years ago.
Did you ever think that you would be a teacher?
Absolutely not. In fact, I remember joking with many friends that I would never teach anatomy and physiology, for example, and that's what I did for many years before I became dean at Piedmont. So,
the Genetics Center out there, you know, I think it's one of those untapped resources that we here in Greenwood, we don't think that much about. Mm-hmm. But across this nation, across the world, it is world-renowned.
It is very well-respected. I still remember going to conferences as a graduate student and hearing scientists actually speak very complimentary of the Genetics Center. They are a gem in our community. They do amazing things. And it was some of the happiest years of my life actually spent as a graduate student down on Gregor Mendel Circle.
Sure. And, you know, to see the expansion with the Clemson and the Genetics Center and what's happening out there, it's truly exciting to see what that's going to bring futuristically.
Absolutely. It's nice for me to have been on the front end of that before the Center for Human Genetics was built, mm-hmm. to have been one of the, not the first, but in one of the first graduate students to be a part of this this program between Clemson and the Genetics Center. And it was, again, the Genetics Center is just a huge gem for our community.
That's right. And continues to be and will be even bigger as the future goes on. So you ended up, you took a teaching position out there. And then, if I think I remember correctly, you were asked to be a dean, an acting dean there for a while?
Well, actually, 4 years ago, I was appointed the dean of arts and sciences from the position as a biology faculty member and have served in that role since. Last year, I actually was given the opportunity to take on another division of the college in an interim basis, Division of Business Information Technology and Public Service. So a great opportunity to learn about some of the other degree programs, some of the applied degree programs that we have at the college.
Now the program, so you're now the Dean of Arts and Sciences, and this is, you must be just about into everything.
Well, the Division of Arts and Sciences is the largest at the college. We have about 40 full-time faculty and probably another 40 part-time faculty, and we cover all the general education courses, so all of your math and science and humanities and social sciences. English is housed within the my division, as well as our university transfer programs. So we teach everyone at the college, but we also have degree programs specifically for those students wanting to transfer to a senior institution.
Now, why is it a good idea to go to Piedmont Tech as far as if you want to go to four-year school?
There are several reasons. I think the biggest and the most practical is the financial savings. The cost per credit hour at Piedmont is lower than it is at any of the senior institutions across the state. In fact, you can save $20,000 on tuition from some of the institutions. If you're looking at private institutions, that number can skyrocket that much more. So it's a great way to start. It's a great way to get a feel for what you want to do. A lot of our students come in, they think they want to go into math, and they start taking some of those courses, and they realize that actually their passion might lie somewhere else. And so it's a safer place to come. It's a less expensive place to come to try to figure out where you want to go, what you want to do.
You know, that's the thing. When we used to go to college, we didn't have to be declared when we went to college. Now it seems like when you're in the seventh or eighth grade, you're supposed to be making up your mind what you want to do with your life.
Absolutely. That's still an issue. In fact, I always talk to advisees when I'm working with them, and I tell them that major matters. If you can tell me where you want to go and what you want to do, then we can create a very seamless transfer process for you, where your courses will count, and they will not just count as electives, but count as requirements for your degree program. If you were to change your mind and decide, let's say you want to do engineering at Clemson, and then you changed your mind and now want to do theater at USC, well, those courses that you may have taken at Piedmont, although they would still transfer, it kind of changes which courses you would want to take. And so the sooner you can figure out where you want to go, the better. Having said that, it's still much less expensive to make those aha moments at Piedmont versus at a larger public institution.
Sure. I can remember when you just picked out a school on whether it was a good party school or it had a good football team or it had all these type of things, right? Now you pick it out because of what you want to do.
Absolutely. That's one of the reasons. And I think we have to be realistic that also the cost, you know, there are a lot of institutions across the state that if you decided to go there, it's not just the tuition and fees. It's moving to potentially a much more expensive city.
Right.
And so there are lots of impacts as we talk about student loan issues and the cost of college. Then that's a very real thing. And students really do have to take into consideration not just the what and the where, but the how. How am I going to get there and how I'm going to be able to pay for it? And does it make sense?
Well, I think being able to take those core courses at your local institution, plus it gives you a little more time to make those decisions. So I think I totally agree. Now, one of the other good things that has happened here in Greenwood in the last few years, of course, is the Greenwood Promise. And I think that's probably made a lot of difference for our younger students.
Absolutely. It gives really any of our students in Greenwood the opportunity to start their college career without having to go into debt. So if they meet the minimum requirements of the Greenwood Promise, then it covers those other expenses. And you know, the vast majority of the students at Piedmont are able to attend with very little out-of-pocket expenditures.
And on top of that, if you just want to get in there and be able to get to work, Piedmont Tech can point you in the direction, whether it's HVAC or car automotive.
Absolutely. There are several divisions at the college. The Arts and Sciences division is one, but whether it's healthcare, which is extremely popular. My wife actually is an alumnus of our healthcare program. She went back to school. She was one of the non-traditional students and got her associate's degree in nursing. The engineering and industrial mechatronics is a huge field right now. It's extremely popular, and it's one of the reasons that we're attracting industries like ZF transmissions and others. Business programs. There are a lot of applied programs where students can go, and the focus isn't necessarily transfer. The focus is to get the skills that you need to get a job now.
I think that's important, you know, and Mike Rowe, who used to do dirty jobs, now he is promoting all across the states about getting a job that can give you the dollars that you need to be comfortable in life, mm-hmm. but also the satisfaction. And I think that is another part of the job, satisfaction.
Absolutely. The quality of life. Absolutely. Yep. I agree with you.
So when you're talking about getting into Piedmont Tech, you always have these instant admission days that mm-hmm. make it easy for a student to get in. I think that is particularly good for somebody who's been out of school and just has a day off that they can go spend the day. But the other part that you have is, how many kids do you have graduating that graduate from high school and already have courses, college courses?
Dual enrollment. We have a large number of students that come to us with some, it might just be one or two courses. Some, it might be 10 or 15 courses. Interestingly, we actually have a good number of students who take dual enrollment with us, who transfer to one of the senior institutions and actually wind up coming back to Piedmont for whatever reason. We hope it's because they had a great experience. but they come back to us, and they either looked to transfer to another four-year or to actually get one of the applied degrees that we were just speaking of.
Wow. So there is so much opportunity, and sometimes I think we overlook something in your own backyard.
Absolutely.
You know, I think, well, years ago it was as far away as I can go from home, that's where I want to go, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, not so much anymore, but we do overlook the fact that Piedmont Tech is such a viable and excellent part of our community.
It also gives students the opportunity to overcome what might have been issues that they had in high school. If you start at Piedmont and you're able to complete, usually it's 30 hours or about a year of coursework, two semesters of coursework. Most senior institutions, when they look at transfer students, are looking just at their college GPA at the technical college. They're not looking at the high school grades or SAT or ACT scores. We have
an important one, particularly that's just something you hear so much about,
right,
is the SAT scores today.
Absolutely. We have a number of students that I've worked with and I've advised that were either self-described class clowns or for whatever reason just struggled on the ACT or the SAT. They came to Piedmont. They were able to do one and a half or 2 years, depending on where they were going, and they were accepted. One was accepted that I can think of off the top of my head to the engineering program at Clemson. So we're talking highly selective programs are still taking Piedmont's transfer students. They've proven their ability to do college-level work, and so the senior institutions are very interested in bringing them on board.
Well, the other thing is, we're having a huge crisis in employment, in having people that are qualified for the jobs that are out there.
Yes.
So
yes, we are.
Piedmont Tech, to be able to say that you can get a student into the engineering program like that, that's a pretty huge statement about the quality of Piedmont Tech.
Yes. There's a lot of, I guess, confusion in the community when you look at a technical college versus some of the universities or other colleges across the state. We're all accredited by the same institution, the Southern Association of Colleges, Commissions on Colleges. So we're accredited by them. Our faculty, at least in the transfer programs, have the same credentials as the faculty at Lander.
So they can transfer too?
And actually, we have faculty who teach part-time for Lander. We have faculty who teach part-time for other, one who's primarily at our Newberry campus who teaches for USC. One of my faculty was just hired by one of the senior institutions to move on as a tenure professor with them. So we have great faculty.
And you have smaller classes.
We do.
I mean, I think that's a big thing when you look at, particularly for a young person, well, an older person too, going into a huge class and just being a number may be nice for anonymity, but it's not very nice when you need that help.
Especially the larger research universities. When you look at the Clemsons or the USCs, it's not uncommon to have a freshman biology class of 300 or 400 students, or a freshman chemistry class of 200 or 300, like my freshman chemistry class. And that can
and
be
still
very,
you stayed.
Right, and I did stay, but it can be very, very intimidating versus a class of 15 or 20. We try to cap our classes, most of our classes at 30, but the majority of our classes are less than that. And so it does allow for that one-on-one interaction with the faculty member.
So there are a lot of good reasons to go to Piedmont Tech, and the transfer programs that y'all have come up with now, looks like just about every school you can transfer and not lose those credits or not have them looked at it as electives, and that was always a big problem.
It is. The Commission of Higher Education in the state has actually mandated that 86 courses that are kind of the common general education classes be accepted by the public institutions in South Carolina. There's still obviously going to be issues trying to make sure that you take the right classes, but that's where the advisor comes in. That's where bridge programs come in, where it's not just the advisor at Piedmont, but it's also the advisor at the senior institution. We really want to have that conversation with the student. We don't want to give you the catalog and say pick your classes, because that's not going to be a smooth transfer. We want to sit down with you. We want to bring the senior institution in and try to map out a personalized degree plan so that when you do transfer, the courses that you've taken are going to meet the requirements for the major that you want.
So what you do is sit down with the student and say, okay, so you're coming to us for 2 years and then you're going on to USC or Clemson or whatever, and how can we make this work?
Absolutely.
So that's a little different than just taking classes and saying, okay, sayonara, I'm going too.
That's exactly the point. And that's what we've tried to do with our faculty in the division is get students to come into advising sessions to help them pick those courses, to establish relationships with whether it be Lander just down the street, whether it be Clemson or a USC or Coastal Carolina. We want to have those relationships, and we want our students to know where they're transferring and to make sure that, you know, they're making the right decision. A lot of times students will come in and say, you know, I want to go to USC and major in this. Well, have you ever been to USC's campus?
No.
Where are you from? Well, I'm from a smaller, you know, town. Well, let's go and look at the campus. And they come back and say, well, you know, great school, but I think I might actually transfer to a land or to another institution because it fits who I am. So it gives us that opportunity to have a conversation with the student, not tell them what they need to do, but help them ask the right questions.
Sure. So that's part of a big part of what you're doing out there now, which is different. I think that's terrific. I think that should make for a lot more satisfaction. And the other thing, a lot less time spent in school.
Absolutely. And a lot less money spent.
That's right. So the Greenwood Promise is there for students who graduate from the Greenwood schools.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, you always have the lottery scholarship.
We actually have two different lottery scholarships. There's the Life Scholarship,
okay,
which has a little bit higher GPA requirements. But even students that don't qualify for the Life Scholarship, are they might be eligible for lottery tuition assistance, which would be for any of our students, whether they are a new graduate or whether they're a non-traditional
returning
student.
Right.
Absolutely.
I think that's a lot of things. A lot of people don't know that, who are returning students or students that have never been. They think, oh, lottery, that's not, I can't get any assistance doing that. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of those non-traditional students. I think it would be interesting for our listeners to know how they can go back to school and how it all works. So our very special guest today is Dr. Brad Griggs. He is the Dean of Arts and Sciences and a whole lot more. We've been talking about the transfer program here in Greenwood from Piedmont Tech to other, I like that, senior institutions. And Andy, let's hear a word from our sponsors, South Carolina News, and then we'll be back. Don't you go away. The antique vintager has arrived in Greenwood. He's been in Greenwood, but he's been incognito. Now unveiled for the very first time, the antique vintager, the one and only Jeff Eller, is debuting on the national stage with his podcast. Shouldn't you be one of the first to come in and see him and see what you have with What's It Worth? Can you sell it? Do you want to sell it? And should you sell it? Only the antique vintager can tell you such things. So come and see us at 637 Durst Avenue East. Call first for your appointment. 864-229-6613. The antique vintager, Jeff Eller, is in the building. Oh, that's right. We're right back here at our studios, WCRS, right here at 637 Durst Avenue East. And we are talking with Dr. Bradley Griggs. He is the Dean of Arts and Sciences out there at Piedmont Tech. We've been having a great discussion about getting everybody back in school so you can make the bigger bucks. And I think sometimes we overlook Piedmont Tech because it's right in your backyard and people have a tendency to do that. But we've talked about recent high school graduates getting into school and using Piedmont Tech really almost as a landing board to jump off into other schools. What about those non-traditional students, which can be older students, students who haven't been to college but have been out in the workforce? How does Piedmont Tech service them?
That's a great question. When we look at our non-traditional students, you really do have a huge diversity. I can think back to one of my favorite students was actually a high school principal who has a master's degree but was getting ready to retire. She wanted to go back to school and get a nursing degree for a retirement job. You have...
That's a little strange. Okay.
But she was a very good student, not surprisingly.
Right.
You have stay-at-home moms or dads that have been out of the workforce for years, raising their families, you know, coming back. And it's hard to make that decision, especially if you've not been in school for many years.
Yes, once you leave, it's hard to get back into
that. It can be very, very intimidating. And you mentioned our one-stop admissions days. That's one of the reasons that we do that, to try to take some of the stress, some of the fear and anxiety away from the student.
Well, and when you get them there for the day, that you can get it all done. Because I would expect that somebody might start down that road and then go, oh, I can't do this.
Right. And to have people there to help them, whether
right.
it be to help them with financial aid questions, to help them with the advising, with what major. We have, you know, career counseling folk who kind of help people figure out what they might be good at or what their interest might
and
be.
And you also do testing, don't you?
Absolutely.
If somebody has no idea, aptitude or whatever they're called.
We call them placement. Testing.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gives us a chance to have a conversation with a student to try to see where they need to start. Because if you've not been in school for many years, then you may not remember how to divide fractions. And if your degree program requires calculus, then that's something that you're going to have to go back and do. And so it gives us a chance to kind of see where we need to start. Some folks might need a transitional or maybe a refresher course to try to get them back where they need to be. And we want to make sure that, again, we take that fear away, that we let them know it's okay, if any of us, whether we have doctorates or masters, if we haven't been in those classes for a long time, we all need those refreshers occasionally to get us back to where we need to be.
And technology is changing so fast.
Absolutely. What the classroom looks like now is not what the classroom looked like 20 years ago or 30 years ago when I was an undergraduate. We were talking the other day, we have online classes at Piedmont. We have traditional classes. We have what we call hybrids, which are kind of in the middle. But a lot of our classes, the majority of our classes, have at least some technological component. There's some online component to it. It opens up so much to our students, and in some ways makes the course easier. In some ways makes the course more difficult, because if you've had an aversion to technology, then you don't want to go online. But there are folks there to help you figure out how to get where you need to be.
How to navigate.
Absolutely.
So that brings us to another interesting part is you talk about the one-on-one and working together, but it also comes down to, in today, joining the workforce, how we prepare our students, whether young or older, to deal with, what shall we call them, the soft skills of life.
Absolutely. The we call them work ethic skills at Piedmont.
And how are you incorporating those into, and why is that important, Brad? More importantly, if I just do the job, why do I have to go through any of this other crap?
That's a great question. Several years ago, we had many of the HR directors from across the area come in, and we had a very focused conversation with them, a session with them, and they identified the biggest skill that we see with students is lacking those soft skills. This past year, we have an advisory board for arts and sciences, so we have both our school districts where we want to have conversations with them to make sure we're meeting their needs, but also our senior institutions, Lander, PC, Clemson, USC, and others, and we try to bring them in and make sure that we're meeting their needs, that our students are where they need to be when they transfer. And we ask that question of them. And so it's not only the workforce, but it's also if when students transfer to colleges, one of the issues that most people agree with is they don't have that, again, whatever it is, whether it's the study skills, whether it's the willingness to attend class or that.
Be on time.
Being on time to class. Being on time submitting papers.
Hmm.
That's a huge component.
What I've seen today, Brad, is I think the professors, the teachers, are very understanding. They give students more opportunity than what I ever had. It's like, you missed that date. I'm sorry. It's a zero for you, honey.
It depends on the assignment. It depends on the teacher. I actually, this year, I've asked the faculty in arts and sciences to be a master of the paradox. And what I meant by that is to be very, very prescriptive. So if you don't do this, these are the consequences. But at the same time, before we impose those consequences, let's have that conversation with the student and see if there are extenuating circumstances that might warrant
some flexibility.
But there need to be the extenuating circumstances. It might be that the first time this happens, we can have some flexibility, but maybe not if it's the second or the third. And that's where work ethic skills comes in, is trying to be flexible, trying to understand that students, whether they be young or whether they be old, they're people. Life happens. It happens to us. We get sick. Our family gets sick, or we have
deaths.
Emergencies happen. Absolutely. And so
but
we need to be willing with that.
Your grandmother can't die three times.
Right. But there's got to be that ownership and that willingness to say, this happened. Can I have an extension? But to do that prior to the deadline and not a week or two after the deadline. When you're working and you go to your boss and you say, I can't do this because this emergency has come up. Most of the time they would work with you. It's when you don't tell them you're not going to show up, and then you come back a week later and say, well, this happened. That's when
Sure. Communication.
Absolutely.
And I think the other thing that is a big problem, it's that face-to-face communication that we're having problems with, because so many of our younger people, not so much our older people, but younger people have gotten so used to using that phone as a communication device, they don't see the importance of face-to-face sometimes.
And it is, because whether it's a text, whether it's an email, you don't have the facial expressions. It's very easy to read into something a context that wasn't meant.
Right.
And one of the things that I do is to be that mediator, peacemaker, maybe. If a student gets an email from a faculty member and they're upset, they're reading the email one way, the faculty member meant it to be read another way, just to try to get them to talk to one another. And it's interesting, some of our students are very hesitant to actually pick up the phone and call or to go talk to them in their office. But it's so critical. And it can resolve so many issues when we just have a conversation and talk to someone face to face versus making assumptions and jumping to conclusions.
You know, whenever I send an email or a text, I read it about 5 times before I send it, because I am so worried all the time that it's going to be misinterpreted.
That's one of the things that, for example, some of our English courses try to focus on is helping students understand that we have a beautiful language. The English language is amazing, but we have to be careful because, again, if you say something just without thinking, it really can be misconstrued and have a connotation that you didn't anticipate.
And then, of course, there's spell check that decides to change your words sometimes.
Absolutely.
I was sending one this afternoon. I was saying the word shipping, and it chose another word for me, and it was not an appropriate word to be sending.
That's actually reached the point where now there are commercials on television where they're focusing on that and making fun of that. That is an issue, and it's something that people have to be aware of.
You're right. So we started out talking about older, as our non-traditional older students. One of the things that I would think as an older student that you might be concerned about is being in a classroom with younger folks and how you would be perceived.
That, again, very, very good point. I think first, many of our classes, when you look at the class, they're not all younger students. I think at any given point in time, probably about half the students on campus probably will fit that non-traditional mold. Again, that's a very general statement.
Mm-hmm.
It's at night, for example, oftentimes those students are working, and so those classes tend to be skewed more towards the non-traditional students. But in all of our classes, we have them, and it's great to have a 30 or 40-year-old and the life experiences that they've had able to talk to a 18, 19, 20-year-old who may perceive things very, very differently. In political science courses, for example, that can be very interesting. In history courses, even, that can be
the perception of history.
Right. And it can lead to some great conversations.
So, what you're saying is we should be proud of our age, not intimidated by our age when it comes to going back to school.
Absolutely. Lifelong learning is the catchphrase that we use nowadays, and it's important. It's never be afraid to go back, because there are others that have done it, and there'll probably be others in your classroom older than you.
That's right. You know, the good thing about going back to school is you probably are more focused, because you have a goal in mind. And at this point, you've been out there in the world kicking around a little bit. You may know better what you want to do than the younger high school grad.
Absolutely. Many of our older students are very focused. And they're great students. Again, they came in the door the first day. They're extremely hesitant, afraid, but they turn out to be just amazing, amazing individuals. And as a faculty member, I love having the opportunity to talk with them. I love seeing them walk across the stage. One of the best parts of my job is at commencement. I get to shake hands of the arts and science students that are graduating, and to see them and the just joy on their face that they've completed this. And you know, every now and then you'll have the little girl in the back of the auditorium, that's my daddy or that's my mommy who's walking across the stage. It just means so much for that family.
Absolutely. So the bottom line is, going back to school is a good thing. Piedmont Tech is an excellent place to investigate. And I think one of the other things, if I remember correctly from some of my conversations, is that Piedmont Tech understands when a student has to take a semester off because of work or because of extenuating circumstances. You can take that semester off and then come right back in, for example.
We have a large number of students that, for whatever reason, life happened, job happened, whatever, and they do have to step out. And when they come back to us, we're going to try to work with them to plug them right back into the program as much as we can, mm-hmm. So that they can ultimately finish that credential and be able to move on.
Now, I know that technical schools used to be kind of considered second rate as far as a place to go. It's just advanced high school, maybe. What is the technical school for today?
It's a comprehensive community college. Again, the university transfer programs, that is the community college side. But we also have the trade schools that we hear about so much in the news today. We do a little bit of everything. We're not a four-year institution. We're not going to fulfill that niche. That's why we have four-year institutions. But we have our role to play, and we have a tremendous impact both on the individual but also on our community. So whether it's a person who's wanting to go to four-year and become a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, an engineer, or they want to go to Piedmont and in 2 years become an engineering technologist or go into mechatronics or go into HVAC or go into building construction or into business or into nursing
or funerals
or funeral services. Absolutely.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I've interviewed a lot of guys and gals out there from Piedmont Tech. I feel like I could go out there and help you guys out, but
we'd love to have you.
It is something that everybody needs to look at in their lives. I think that is one of the things we can't in today's world be satisfied with what we have had in the past.
That's right. That's right. We have to be willing to learn. We have to be willing to grow as a person. And sometimes to do that, you need additional credentials or you need additional training. And that's where we fit in. We help a student, whether, again, they are a right out of high school or that non-traditional student. We help them achieve their goals, whatever those goals may be.
Now, you're already into this semester. I think you went back. Classes started the 9th. In January. So when will be the next time that students can start looking at where they're going futuristically?
Well, actually, we have a late start to our spring semester, which starts the second week of February. So if people are listening and they have made a decision and they want to come, please call our admissions office. They could probably start that process and actually get started this semester. But if not, our summer term begins in the middle of May.
Middle of May. So you have plenty of time, but you don't have to wait till classes are starting.
No, please don't. It's actually much easier. It will make your life much easier if you go ahead and call or visit the college online at ptc.edu and start that application process. Classes will begin to fill up, and if you, we might be able to get you in courses if you show up the day or two before the semester starts. But it's easier if you can show up a little bit earlier.
Now, the other thing for the non-traditional student is costs. What avenues are there to reduce the cost for the non-traditional student?
Well, there is some state aid. We mentioned lottery tuition assistance a little earlier. That can reduce the cost of courses almost by half.
Mm-hmm.
There's also several federal programs. There is student loans. I always encourage students to try to avoid the loans if they can, because they do have to repay them. But there are also federal programs like the Pell Grant. Depending on income, the student might be eligible for. And once they are a student, we have foundation scholarships. We have a wonderful foundation at Piedmont that is supported by our community, and we have a number of scholarships that we offer to help defray the cost. That's one of the committees that I serve on at the college. It's one of the hardest working committees. We have about 115 students that we're evaluating for scholarships this coming semester, and then we'll do interviews for them, and it's just great to be able to be that partner with our community to help students meet their goals.
So when you're able to get lottery assistance, that's money that doesn't have to be paid back.
That is money that does not have to be paid back.
And you don't have to be a brand new student, just high school graduate.
You do not have to be a brand new student, just high school graduate.
Yeah.
You have to be taking at least 6 credit hours. So there are a few requirements.
Right.
But it's really open to anyone who's in a degree-seeking program.
Yeah, I like those commercials on TV where they show the young person, you know, going in and then the older person filling out the paperwork and they're getting that lottery assistance. So it is to help all people, and I think that's real, real important.
It is. 7 of 10 of our students go tuition free. So whether it be state aid or federal aid, they have their resources that can help our students get into the class regardless of what their financial background is.
Just out of curiosity, what's some of the most popular programs out there at Piedmont Tech?
Well, of the 4,000 some odd students, 500 are mine.
Okay.
In the university transfer program. Our nursing program is extremely popular. Our mechatronics program is popular. We have those programs both here and in at our Newberry campus. Our business program, not a surprise, our associate's degree in business is extremely popular. We have a number of programs, and there are several that are that meet a very important need for the community.
You know, what I think has always been amazing about Piedmont Tech is their will to go all in on a program, whether it's the nursing program or the HVAC program. I know that was a huge undertaking, what they did there for the HVAC program.
The new facilities that they were able to acquire for them.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's going to be the Odell Learning Center. What's that?
For advanced manufacturing. Mm-hmm. Again, that's more of our industrial side of the college, but it has that direct impact with attracting business. We've had several huge corporations relocate to the Lakelands area, and one of the reasons that they come is we have citizens who are able to staff those jobs and be great employees, and we're very happy to play some role in helping them acquire the skills they need.
Well, that is the thing, and I think not only that, I think Piedmont Tech is still doing this. If a business needs help with training employees, they will...
Absolutely. Many of our campuses have flex space specifically for that role, so if a company is moving into an area and they need to train their future workforce, we have spaces that are designed specifically to be, you know, we move the equipment in, we do the training, and then they can move the equipment out.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing the way the world works these days, isn't it?
Have to be very flexible and very adaptable.
Okay. All right. Well, Brett, you have been here. We started out talking about the transfer programs to the senior institutions. That's the 4-year programs. That's what you're over. In closing, are there any words that you would like to say to the folks out there?
I just want to thank our community. Again, we at Piedmont wouldn't be able to do what we do if it wasn't our partners, whether it be our senior institution in town, Lander, whether it be Self Regional. They have been a very active partner. The Greenwood Promise and everyone that's contributed to the Greenwood Promise. Just to be a part of an organization like Piedmont that has such a positive impact on the lives of the citizens in this community, it really is an honor to be there.
Absolutely. So if you have heard this program and you're thinking, well, maybe I'll pick up the phone, what are you going to tell them there, Brad?
Please contact Piedmont Tech's Office of Admissions and we'll be happy to help you.
That's right. And make sure that you are doing what's good for you and your family. And if you've got a young person or if you've got somebody, maybe you've been listening and you know of somebody that's struggling, hasn't really found the right direction, they should at least come out and talk to your admissions people and see if there's a direction they can go.
Absolutely. Like I said, we have career counselors that can might even be open someone's eyes, a career that they didn't even think about that they realize they have the aptitude for.
That's right. Little did I know, I was a radio person, and here I am. I just kept doing it, and someday I became one. Well, Brad, it certainly has been nice to have you here today. You are the Dean of Arts and Science right out there at Piedmont Tech. If you are taking any of the transfer classes that are going to transfer you to a senior college, you are probably going to be in your department for a while.
Yes, ma'am, and we'll be happy to have you.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for coming out today. You have been listening to another Meet Me at the Diner right here live on WCRS. It's right at 5 o'clock. Oh, it's been a busy day. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Thanks for coming out today, Brad.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody.